Yesterday, we had our Bishops Committee retreat. We went to St. Nicholas in Tahuya, which is a little country church out south of Belfair in the middle of the woods. Just a beautiful place and a lovely kind of country church for us to get together. And we thought about what we want to do as a church this coming year and how the Bishops Committee wants to work together. And as a part of that process, we did a little brainstorming. I love that word, brainstorming. It sort of makes me think about thunderclouds rising up, so these ideas from people's brains just kind of rising up until they come together and then pour down all these ideas that make things happen. Brainstorming is it's a problem-solving technique in which everyone who comes together is invited to give every idea they can think of and put it on the table. And there's no idea that is too crazy or too wacky or too impractical. We're just supposed to put out ideas. And the funny thing is that often the best ideas come out of those crazy ideas. So brainstorming is really an effective way to come up with something new. Many years ago, in my last church, we had a problem to solve. And the problem was that on the front wall of the church, there was a stained glass window, and the wall had rotted out underneath it and sagged so badly that the window was falling apart and the sections were kind of just hanging there. And we had to figure out what we were going to do. This church had been built in the 1950s by the parishioners. The local lumber mill provided several truckloads of lumber, and one of the parishioners was a carpenter, and so they just built this thing. It was nothing fancy. It was adequate, but it didn't look special. So they always wanted to do something to make it look a little nicer. And years later, in the 70s or 80s, I heard, a couple of the parishioners were driving across Canada, and they went into an antique store and they saw this stained glass window that had been taken out of some church, and the antique store was trying to sell it. And they thought, this would be perfect for the front wall of our church. So they took some photos, and when they got back home, they tried to sell it to everybody in the congregation, and they said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. So they sent a truck back up to Canada, and they brought the stained glass down, and they cut a hole in the front wall of the church, and they put the stained glass window in. Looked great. Everybody was happy. It was a window for Saint Cecilia, who is the patron saint of musicians, and this church was named Saint Andrew's, but nobody cared. They had their stained glass window. Everybody was happy. Trouble was, they didn't put the flashing on the bottom of the window where it met the wood wall. And over the years, the rain coming up against that stained glass window and going down to the wall started to rot out that wall. And by the time I got there, I inherited this rotten wall that was falling apart and this stained glass window that was starting to collapse. So when it all fell apart, we covered it with some plastic, and we got some bids to see what this was going to cost. They said $10,000. Well, we didn't have $10,000. So what were we going to do? Well, the Bishops Committee got together, and we said, we're going to brainstorm this. So it's a usual thing, you know, invite all your ideas, just put everything out there, and doesn't matter how crazy it is, just give some ideas. So we start off, and you know, you get the usual sort of ordinary ideas at first. We could have a bake sale. We could have a rummage sale. We could ask the diocese for money to fix our wall. We could get a bank loan. Maybe we could ask the high school carpentry class to take it on as a project for free. We could rob a bank. I thought that was a little more creative. Maybe we could invite all the parishioners to a dinner and then hold them hostage. Don't let them leave until they pay up. That's creative. Someone said, why don't we just get rid of the thing and we'll auction off all the pieces of the stained glass window and everybody can take a piece home and then we'll just put the put wood back up there. And then someone said, no, I know. Let's auction off all the pieces, but have everyone who buys a piece put their name on it, and then we can put it back up there, and everyone can say, that's my piece of the window there. So that's what we did. And not only did it raise enough money to put the window back up there, but we got more than enough money, and we covered up this ugly brown paneling with some nice white sheetrock. So in the end, it turned out fine. What it showed us was that we just had to look at things a little differently. And we just had to come up with some different ideas in order to solve our problem. The gospel today, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be restored? It's not good for anything except to be thrown out and trod underfoot. What I think Jesus is saying is that the church should be a distinctive witness in the world. We should provide an alternative message, an alternative witness to the world. You know, the world says, worry. The church says, pray. The world says, dog eat dog. The church says, love one another. The world says, you're lost. The church says, you're found. So Jesus calls us not to the old, dull ways of the world that have always been there, but to a new way of thinking, to a distinctive witness, something different. You know, trying the same old worn-out solutions is like using contaminated salt. It doesn't have any flavor. It's just good to be thrown out. So the church ought to bring something distinctive to the world. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket, but they put it on the lampstand so it brings light to the whole house. So let your light shine that others may see it and give glory to your Father in heaven. You can't find solutions if you're looking in the dark. So turn on the light bulb of ideas and come up with something new. That's what Jesus is calling us to do here. Shed some new light on the old problems. I've been following the homeless crisis in Kitsap County through the newspapers. And as you know, the homeless population just keeps growing, and it's this very difficult problem with many reasons and background behind it, and our county is having a difficult time solving it. The county commissioners don't know exactly what to do. But 2 years ago, the county commissioners passed an ordinance which allows churches to have a homeless encampment on their property for up to 2 years if certain conditions are met. And there's a church in Port Orchard, the Port Orchard Church of Christ, which took this seriously. They got 5 acres. It's not right on the road, but there's bus access out there. And they said, maybe we could do this. So they brainstormed among themselves, and they decided that they were going to try this. There's a coalition in the county called Homes for All. It's a coalition of social service agencies and nonprofits and churches, and they said, we'll come up with the tiny houses to put on the property, and we can get a portable kitchen and portable bathrooms that could be moved to the next site when it's done here. And Kitsap Rescue Mission said, we'll provide social workers to make sure there's order in the camp and no drugs and no alcohol, no sexual abusers are allowed. And so it looked pretty good. It hasn't happened yet. You have the NIMBY problem, not in my backyard. And so neighbors have raised objections, which I can understand. And there's a long permitting process that still hasn't happened. But I admire this little church for coming up with this idea that they could sponsor this homeless encampment. It's a distinctive witness. It's something different. So my point is that this is a novel idea. They're willing to do what God calls them to do. You know, in our Old Testament lesson today, the prophet Isaiah is speaking for God. He says, the fast that I'm calling for is to loose the bonds of injustice, to share your bread with the hungry and invite the homeless into your houses. And in other words, bring salt and light into the world. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do this. This is not a good location because we're not on a bus route and we're not near any services. So don't get that idea. But isn't the solution that the Church of Christ came up with novel? And it makes me wonder, how can we be a distinctive witness here at St. Anthony's? What is it about us that is a special character that we have that we can offer to the world? What is the light that we have? How can we be salt to the world around us? I think that'll require some brainstorming, and I'm sure we'll do that. So it's something for us to think about, how we can be salt and light in the world. You are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be restored? It's not good for anything except to be trod underfoot. You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket, but they put it on the lampstand so that everyone can see. So let your light shine that others can see it and give God glory. Amen.